I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. Now we turn to Mark Carson and his death in the early morning hours of May 18th. Carson, a black gay man, was shot in the face after exiting a party. According to the NYPD and media reports, he and a gay male companion were simply walking down the street when they got into a conflict with two other men. Carson was subsequently shot after being threatened by the alleged shooter, who was reportedly using anti-gay slurs in the course of the altercation. Carson later died from the injury, and the police have charged the case as a homicide and a hate crime. My guest for this important segment is Kai Wright. He is editorial director of ColorLines.com and a reporting fellow of the Investigative Fund at the Nation Institute. His investigative reporting and news analysis appears regularly in The Nation, The Root, and The American Prospect, among too many other publications to name, and he's a regular commentator on National Public Radio. Also, I want to mention that his work explores the politics of sex, race, and health. Kai is author most recently of Drifting Toward Love, Black, Brown, Gay, and Coming of Age on the Streets of New York. So appropriate that we should have you here, Kai. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And I should say also that your website, ColorLines.com, has had vivid coverage of the Mark Carson story, including the 1,500-strong rally that occurred this week to honor the life of Mark Carson and make a stand against the hate that led to his death. So why don't we begin there? Let's talk about the spirit of that march. That was on Monday, May 21st. This has been reported as New York City's largest LGBT rally in years, coming together around this cause. Can you say a little bit about the spirit of that march, its purpose, and what has come out of it since that day?
Yeah, I mean, I think broadly, the reaction to Mark Carson's death has been, you know, terribly heartening. I mean, you know, it was an awful, awful, awful crime, right? And, you know, and any time you have, you know, a situation where someone is plainly targeted, a random person targeted for who they are by somebody who's roaming the streets of New York looking for someone to murder, which it sounds like, based on the police reports, was the case here. That is jarring, and it draws people's attention. And with all of this public violence, you know, I mean, in this case, we're talking about Mark Carson, an attack on somebody because of their sexuality. But, you know, it's true for the Newton murders. It's true for what happened in Boston. When you have these acts of public violence, they're acts of violence against the whole community, right? You know, it's an act of violence against all of New York City. And so to see so many people recognize that in this case and stand up and say this is an attack on all of us is incredibly heartening, I think. And I think that's important for us to understand. With all of these hate crimes, we want it so hard to understand the motivations of the assailant. You know, that's where we go. We want to try to understand where were they coming from? Why are they doing this? And those are questions we may never be able to answer. And a lot of times I think they're beside the point. I think what we can know is about our own reaction to it as individuals and as a community. And I think there's a lot to be heartened in our reaction to Mark Carson's murder.
Well, I want to put that out there. Some folks do feel heartened or even encouraged, but some are feeling discouraged, and we do have time for a call or two during this segment. If you marched on Monday through the streets of Greenwich Village in the wake of Mark Carson's death, please call us and tell us why you did and how it felt. 212-433-WMYC, that's 212-433-9692. Or for any of you who saw the march go by or who have been otherwise affected by Mark Carson's death in any way on May 18th, do you feel that this marks a turning point in the city or in the country? Are you encouraged or discouraged that these kinds of killings are still happening in 2013? 212-433-WMYC. That's 212-433-9692. My guest is Kai Wright, editorial director of ColorLines.com. And Kai, some are making the obvious comparison of Mark Carson's death to that of Matthew Shepard. Matthew Shepard, of course, was tortured and murdered in Wyoming because he was gay. That was back in 1998. Do you agree with that comparison?
Well, sure. I mean, I think all of these acts of violence are the same. And I think that there is something to be said in terms of, you know, the way that Matthew Shepard's death galvanized folks and the reaction that you're seeing to Mark Garson's death. But I think there's also something really important to point out here is that, you know, there is a line. You know, so around the time of Matthew Shepard's death, we started you know, places like the Anti-Violence Project and law enforcement started counting, actually paying attention to the number of people who are murdered every year because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. And it is important to note that dozens of people every year since then are murdered because of this. Dozens.
So
and it's not news.
Why then, Kai, do some of these deaths or murders garner more attention than others? More attention.
Yeah, and so when you look at who those people are, they are overwhelmingly people of color, first off, something like 9 out of 10 in 2011, which was the most recent year that the National Coalition of Anti-Violence Programs counted. They are also overwhelmingly transgender. Upwards to half are people who have gender identities or gender presentations that folks don't like, that people believe are abnormal. And I think that we do have to ask ourselves some very tough questions about whether or not all of these murders matter, and whether or not we believe that all of these murders matter. And while I'm super duper heartened by the reaction to Mark Kirsten's murder, as I was by the reaction to Matthew Shepard's murder, I do think it's important for us to ask ourselves, okay, so when a transgender woman is killed in a pickup crime later this year, which will happen absolutely in New York City later this year, will we be as outraged? Will we be as concerned? And that's an important question because, you know, we're clearly at a cultural turning point. We're not quite at the political turning point on gay rights, right? I mean, we were having a great conversation, but the policies have not yet changed nationally and in most states. So the political victory on rights is still off, but there is certainly a cultural shift that we have seen, and that's wonderful. And we've seen it in the reaction to Carson's death. We've seen it in the reaction to Jason Collins's coming out as a pro basketball in the NBA a few weeks back. We've seen the way that everybody, both in the gay community and allies, are able to stand up in public and say, great, we support, and or no, this is inappropriate when there's plain homophobia. But we have to wonder, as we make this cultural shift, we have to be careful about whether or not we start defining certain kinds of people as appropriate gay and certain kinds of people as inappropriate gay.
The way in which we value victims.
In the way in which we value victims, and I think that shows up with hate crime most vividly, right? Because you have people murdered, and we notice some, and we don't notice others, right? And so it's really vivid there. But it's true throughout the culture, right? I mean, the more I am a middle class, largely gender normative gay man in a traditional looking relationship, at least, you know, the more of those boxes you can't tick, the closer you are to the bad old days. And that's the kind of thing we need to be aware of. So it's really super duper heartening that we're seeing this reaction to Mark Carson's death. It is not to be overlooked that he was a black gay man and that we are still seeing a strong reaction to it. But we do need to think about more broadly as we change our culture. Is all queerness okay? And is it equally outrageous when a transgender woman is killed in a pickup crime, which will happen this year?
Let's take a call from Nathan. Nathan, you are on WNYC with Kai Wright.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking the call. I'm a married gay man, and I'm retired. My spouse is not retired. And I call to say that anybody who thinks that discrimination against gay people is not happening on a routine daily basis is living in la-la land. We have been in Washington, D.C. in December. We went to a Smithsonian Institute theater to see a 3D film, And we're not a couple that does a lot of public displays of affection, but I think that anybody who makes any kind of observation of human beings can tell when two people are in an intimate relationship or not. And we're seated there talking to each other. A gentleman sitting next to me turned to me and said, "Are you guys a couple?" To which I said, "Yes." And he and his family got up and moved. We've had comments made to us when we're in the streets of Philadelphia. We've had comments made to us or about us here in New York. And I think that gay people are just living in a dream world that they feel as though there is not discrimination that's prevailing, prevalent in this country and in the U.S.
Nathan, thank you so much for your phone call and your honesty. And Kai, I want to come to you and follow up on Nathan's comment with a question, and that's specific to Greenwich Village, because although I think many of us, gay and straight, would certainly appreciate Nathan's comments nationwide, Greenwich Village as the place for this crime, in fact, a stone's throw from Stonewall, is quite shocking. Many people believe that Greenwich Village would be, if anywhere, a safe haven for gay people, but perhaps some element comes to the village looking for trouble. Can you speak to the location of this crime?
Well, you know, so the village has since Stonewall, since the 60s and before, been a place where queer people, particularly of color and particularly young, have gathered as a second home from all over the tri-state area, and that has long been the case. Also, long been the case has been that it's contested space. the Stonewall riots were a result of the fact that it's contested space. And it has been contested space ever since. In recent years, recent being, you know, the past decade or so, it as the village has become the village that we know, with, you know, multi-million-dollar brownstones and, and a place where celebrities live and a lovely, lovely place, it has been particularly contested in terms of whether or not those young people in particular are welcome there. The neighbors, the neighborhood has been quite hostile to them over the years. The police have been quite hostile to them over the years. In fact, some of the violence that we have seen there has been from police. There has been plenty of anti-gay violence in the village over the years. So that also is not actually new. I think what is new is that it happened in such a graphic way, right? This is a unique crime in its graphic nature, and the fact that people were targeted and tracked down and hunted down and shot in the face. That's awful. And I think that's something that everybody can relate to all of a sudden. When you have a crime where you see where everybody else can see themselves in that position, then it hits a nerve. But again, in the village and elsewhere, this kind of contested space has been the case literally for generations.
Yeah.
But it's not been amongst people who everybody else can say, "Oh, that could have been me." So the reaction has been different.
I think we have time, Kai, for one more call. Let me take Caitlin from Ridgewood, Queens. Caitlin, you're on WMYC with Kai Wright.
Hi there. Thanks so much for talking about this. I'm a gay woman born and raised in Long Island and in the city. And, I wanted to talk about how we mentioned the transphobia versus homophobia. And I feel like the fact that we are much more okay with people of color and trans people being murdered and having violence upon them is a result somewhat of the gay marriage movement, and how we're this conforming of, we're these perfect little families where we have money. Look, we're going to have lots of big weddings. It makes it just have a little corner for all of these other people who are not going to get married and who are going to have very different families. And I think it's dangerous for all of us to just have this, like, we are almost heterosexual. We're almost just like you, but we're not. And as a community, we're a very, very diverse community. And I think there's so much transphobia even within the gay community that is so disturbing. And that really, I think, leads to this cover-up. And not even just cover-up, but just really not caring about the violence against sex workers and people who really just lead very different lives than, say, you know, your regular yuppies, gay or straight, in New York City. And I think it's a real problem and something that we really need to face as the gay community and as the straight community. We shouldn't be putting anybody in these dark corners where they're unsafe, targeted, and we don't care. It's very disturbing to me. So I'm glad that you're mentioning that it's not just about Mark being gay. You know, it's about who are we actually shining the light on with this violence. And I really hope that we can get to a place that we're a little bit more caring and accepting of everybody who's in our community here.
Caitlin, that's an excellent closing thought. And Kai, I'm going to ask you just in about 10 seconds to play off of that for a final thought on Mark Carson.
Well, I'd say, you know, one thing we should all note in Mark Carson's death, it sounds like from the police report that they were targeted as much for their gender presentation as anything else. That, you know, the assailant, you know, reportedly, you know, joked, "Oh, look at you, you look like gay wrestlers," because of the way they were dressed. They were wearing boots and tank tops and things that men are not supposed to wear. And so I think it is useful for us to think about the gender dynamics and the way that inappropriate gender targets triggers such violent reactions and what that means for us culturally. I agree.
I want to thank you, Kai Wright, for your important insights on this story. And I want to encourage our listeners to follow you on Twitter at Kai_Wright or look for him in his Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn neighborhood. Thank you, Kai.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for having me.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk to one of the most decorated pilots in Air Force history. We'll ask him about the controversial issue of drones.